Praise God. It's called Christ My Hero. Is he your hero? He's my hero. Praise God. Praise God. If you and I want good relationships with people around us, whether it's at work or whether it's at school or whether it's with friends or in marriage and home life, we need Jesus. Praise God. Some of us maybe in our past life have had to go at relationships without him, and we know the fruit of that. But we're looking at relationships with Jesus at the very center. So the key is to study his life. You have a look at Jesus' life. You study his life. You learn from him. You see what he does in various situations with people. And you copy him. Is that what the scripture says? It says, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. We're to copy what we see Jesus doing, and then we're going to have the success in relationships that he had. Would that be good? Praise God. And so we're going to enjoy having a look at that. Do you remember we said some time back, you'll only copy what you admire. That's all anyone will ever copy. They'll only copy what they admire. Well, as you look to Jesus and as you admire him more and more, you want to copy him. Praise God. Praise God. And John was sharing with us a couple of weeks back as well that the Lord can't bless ignorance. He can't bless ignorance. If I don't know Jesus, if I don't know some of the accounts of his life, if I'm not reading the word regularly to get to know him more, well, then I could be in ignorance of who and what he is. And so it wouldn't be possible for me to copy him because I wouldn't know how he reacts in different situations. So Jesus wants to give to each one of us so we can pass on to others. I mean, he's giver, big time, Jesus. Name some of the good things that Jesus gives us that we can pass on to others. Love, joy, himself, patience, peace, life. Praise God. He wants to pour all of who he is onto us so that we can overflow to those around us. Praise God. Praise God. And so you can only give what you've got. You can only give what you've got. If you have the peace of Christ working in you, you know how to, even if circumstances are difficult, you know how to settle in his presence. You know how to receive his settlement. You know how to receive his peace. Now you've got it to give to others. Amen? So he wants to give to you so that you're ready and able to give to others. He said to some of the early disciples, he said, freely you've received, freely give it away. Bring others into the peace that you're in. Bring others into the joy you're in. Bring others into the kindness that you're receiving from Christ. Can you see how it works? And this is the key to all relationships. Now we're going to have a look at Jesus under pressure to see what comes out of him under pressure. Pressure. Anyone able to sail through this life without a single pressure and a problem? Anyone? Are there a few pressures around? Well, guess what the pressure does? It shows what's in you. As soon as the pressure comes, it becomes very clear what's in a person. If you're bitter about some various things in life and angry about some things in life, well, you just have to put a small little bit of pressure on someone like that, and out comes the bitterness. Out comes the resentments. Out comes the anger. Whereas if you're filled with the peace and the settlement of Christ, no matter how you squeeze, that's what's going to come out. Is that true? Praise God. So we're looking to have... to live off the beauty of Christ Jesus on the inside of us. Do you know there's not a trace of selfishness in Christ. There's not a trace of anything selfish about the Lord Jesus Christ. So as I receive his life and I start to grow in him and I start to copy him, I'm going to be able to live a life that's not centered on me. I'm going to be able to live to have the focus off of you is the most wonderful grace that God could ever give to you. As soon as you start looking all at yourself and all analyzing yourself and everything, well, that's not going to be a great day. As soon as you start looking at the loveliness of Christ Jesus and the beauty and the power and the majesty, and you think him filling me, boy, you think this is going to be a great day. Very, very different. He releases us from ourselves. He releases us from ourselves. It's wonderful. So we're going to see Jesus under pressure. John 10 verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. Wow. Is that precious? I am the good shepherd. He repeats it again. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Is that wonderful? This is Jesus. You see, Jesus is shepherd of all shepherds. Jesus cares for people around him. And Jesus protects people around. He's a powerful protector. He moves into care. He moves into protect. And he's a most wonderful, wonderful shepherd. He comes to bring his goodness. He's the good shepherd looking to bring goodness into other people's lives. Now, Jesus' thoughts are of others all the time. His thoughts are of others and not himself first. Now, Jesus does look after himself. We each one of us need to know how to care for ourselves before we can care for somebody else. We need to know how to get rest. We need to know how to spend time with God. See, Jesus used to go off for long periods of time on his own to be with the Father and to draw everything that he needed so he then could go and overflow to those around. Can you see how Jesus lived? But you find when he's with people, he's all other people focused. He's all other people focused the whole time, Jesus. Amen. So we're going to have a look at Jesus under pressure here to learn from him and to see how he behaved under pressure. Jesus was betrayed by one of his close team, Judas. So he was betrayed. It's the same as your best friend, your closest friend, turning their back on you and doing the dirty on you. This is what was done on Jesus. He was arrested. He was deserted by all his close friends. He was beaten. A crown of thorns was made for his head and beaten into his head with sticks. He was spat upon. He was mocked. He was given a false trial. He was nailed to a cross and he was hung up in excruciating pain for 6 hours to die. And his good name was destroyed. He has had every imaginable, cruel, horrible, rotten, unfair thing done to him, and in the middle of it, he returns only good. Wow. I mean, see, we're talking power here. We're talking power. We're talking, Jesus was operating by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Father with him. And we're going to see that we can live by this same power. We can live by this very same power through Christ inside us. He's my healer, hero. He's my healer as well. He's my hero. Do you know what the first reaction of mine to this when you read the account of Jesus? You see, it's in the scriptures over big chapters so that we'll take note of what took place there because there's a lot to learn in there. The first reaction of mine is my petty complaints. Jesus, you know, complain about some meal wasn't quite. I've made a decision by the grace, by the power of God, I'm going to complain about nothing ever again. Now, God's going to have to help me there, give me grace, but I think, Lord, I'm not going to complain about anything. I've seen what you've gone through, Jesus, and all my complaints are totally and forever silenced by what I see that you've done and what you have done for me. That first reaction to me, now to him. Jesus heals the high priest's, but Peter cuts off the high priest's servant's ear. That was a good start. Good move there. The high priest is pouring blood from out the side of his head. The rabble have come to arrest Jesus. And if you look at the courteousness of Jesus' language, here's what he says: permit even this. And he goes and he permit even this. And he reaches in and he heals the chap's ear. I mean, if you ever have any doubt about Jesus wanting to heal you, I mean, have a look at that. This is a rabble coming to do for Jesus, to kill him, to see him crucified, to see him wiped out, and he heals right in the midst of that. Boy, I mean, there's hope for us, isn't there? Who love him, who worship him, that we might easily receive healing from him. So we see Jesus, look, right in the middle of this pressured situation, other people he's thinking of. Then in Luke 23, verse 34, don't turn to any of these. You can look them up later. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, he's totally focused to their well-being. He wants no guilt. He doesn't want them to carry any guilt. I mean, it's a powerful picture of the removing of guilt, isn't it? When he's on the cross. He doesn't want them to carry any guilt, and he doesn't want to carry any bitterness himself. I mean, it's so powerful, because he knows if he starts taking on bitterness into himself, it's going to destroy him. Because you see, you could crucify the body of Jesus, but you couldn't touch the beauty of his person. It remains absolutely intact. Under the most extreme pressure, we see nothing but beauty, goodness, and kindness coming out of him to those around. Now, here's something I only saw recently, Matthew 27:54. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. It says in another place that the centurion glorified God. So here, see, I thought it was only the centurion. But it's the centurion and all those with him. All those who crucified Christ, they turned to him and they said, surely, truly, this is the Son of God. They received him. They received Christ. Now, it's interesting to note here that Jesus didn't give them a leaflet each with four steps to salvation on it. No, he lived out the glory of the Father, and that attracted the people to him for salvation. Is that wonderful? This is what he's called us to do, you see, to be the same, that our lives are attractive, that they call, our lives call people to us. So Jesus was thinking of them who crucified him. He was thinking of a safe future for Mary, his mother. He was sorting out that Mary would have somewhere to live safely and someone to look after her. This is all from the cross, right in the middle of his extreme distress. I mean, do you think he might have been entitled to say, she's going to have to sort her own deal out because of what I'm going through here? But no, he can't help giving from his goodness, the good shepherd. You can't close down the goodness and the love coming from Jesus. It's who he is. Is he wonderful? Praise God. Praise God. Now, you could think, looking at that account, I could never be like that. You could think this, looking at that account. And the truth is, you never could be. No, you never could live like that. You could never live by those qualities. That's why Father had to put Jesus into us. Now it's possible. We couldn't do this on our own. No person can come to this unselfish way of living of their own. It's another power. And so Father says, I'm going to put my son Jesus inside them. Now let's just think for a moment. It's the same Jesus who hanged on the cross. It's the same Jesus that's in you right now, the one who died on the cross. So you have that same power within you to always give good out from you, no matter what the circumstances. Hallelujah. Now, during the meeting here, I made a note at the top of my sheet. Don't take your lead from others. Jesus did not take his lead for how he was going to behave by those who were crucifying him and those who were hurling all the abuse at him. He didn't take his lead from there. Is that very important? So, I mean, if you're in a close relationship, be it in a home, at home or at work or something like that, you don't take your lead from how they're treating you. You don't set about trying to correct them. You live the right way, and that eventually is going to be a call to the other person. Praise God. You see, there's no point looking and saying, he ought to change. She ought to change. I'll pray for them to change. No. You live by the power of the Spirit of Almighty God inside you, and you will be ministering as a shepherd, as one who cares, as one who protects, and as one who is looking to continually bring in goodness into the situation, despite what you are experiencing right now. I mean, we're talking power here. But you see, Jesus said, you shall receive power when that the Holy Spirit's come upon you. If you've received Christ, you've received the Holy Spirit, you've received the Father, that power has come upon you, and you now are able to live by this other life on the inside of you. I mean, is this strong stuff? This is strong, strong stuff for us. I mean, but we're hearing this, and we want to hear this, and we want to learn from Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Now, we might be right to ask the question, how do I live by this power of Christ in me? If we get to some practicalities of how we might do this, I've jotted down a few examples. Maybe it'll help us slightly. You come home exhausted after a day's work. I mean, you're flattened after the day's work. You come in home and you find that everyone there is quite tired and stressed out. Now the call is, are you going to live like Jesus? Are you going to say, you sit down? I'm going to take over here. So do you think Jesus was tired on the cross? I mean, do you think he was slightly exhausted, 6 hours hanging on a cross, and his consideration is all for the other person there? I mean, see, as soon as you start to move in this, the home becomes like a heaven on earth. If both in the marriage are, somebody said one time, it's not what can I get out of this relationship, it's what can I put into this relationship is the key to your happiness and success. Even if the other person does not respond at all to your goodness, to your kindness, to your giving, even if they don't respond at all, you don't take the lead from their not responding. You take your lead from the Father who's called you to live this way. It's very, very powerful. It's a very, very powerful way to live. Praise God. Supposing somebody is rude to you and they've said some hurtful things. Ever said any hurtful things to somebody? Ever had them said to you? Praise God. Well, now, here's the pressure on to see how we're going to respond. Praise God. You see, very easy for me to give somebody a piece of my mind. That's very easy to do that. But rather might it be better to give them a piece of Christ's mind. I have the mind of so you're right in the situation where you're receiving the hostility, you're receiving the hurtful statements, and you say, Jesus, within yourself. Jackie was talking to us this morning how you speak within yourself in situations. So you say, Jesus, we're going to handle this properly. We're not going to respond as we could easily do or we could readily do. Praise God. And so you're together with Jesus. Now you're going to want to bring some understanding into the situation. Now you're wanting to bring some peace in. You're wanting to settle a situation. You see, if I've hurt and upset Shirley, and she's all upset with some things that I've said to her, and it's obvious, my approach in Christ is, I can see I've upset you. I can see I've caused some hurt to you. Will you please forgive me? Do you see what I mean? We're thinking Christ. We're thinking how he'd respond. I'm thinking about settling Shirley. Can you see it? I'm thinking about settling her. I'm not thinking about me and how I feel. Yeah. Well, how do you think I feel about this situation? And how do you think all this is affecting me right now? Christ's ministry is the opposite. No thought to himself. I mean, he's losing every drop of blood out of his body. No thought to himself because he's living by another power. The power of Almighty God is wonderful. It's wonderful. Here's a tiny little example from in a shop one time. There was a sale on and in the shop, and I asked for some help to find some things, and got a fairly rude, unhelpful answer from the person that was serving there. Well, now here's my opportunity. I've come here expecting a decent service in this shop. And you haven't even got the good manners to give attention to my requests and to see to them. I've got that opportunity there. Christ Jesus. Start looking through the eyes of Jesus. What do I see? I'm thinking another person now. I see this woman highly stressed out because they're in the middle of a sale. And all the clothes have all been tossed around into a great pile. And she has the job of folding these up, trying to get some some order on it in the midst of huge pressure. I'm now thinking another person. So I said to her, wow, I can see the pressure that's on here today. And I can see the state of all here that you've been left with to cater in the middle of all the crowds and the pressure and everything that's going on here. Well, you've won her over totally. Yes, you're absolutely right. You say, God, dear, what a day. Now, what did you want there? What can I? You win the person over. But it's very simple. It's living like Christ would live. Living like Christ would live. It's a very simple little example there, but it just shows how we can turn the thing round for the other person. Because Jesus would be thinking, this woman needs refreshment here. She needs some peace. She needs some help here in the course of the day, and I can give it because I've got Christ in me. Can you see that? Praise God. Praise God. You see, in the world, we see self-pity, poor old me, and everything. The whole universe centers around me. That's the world. So the world owes me top class service and treatment wherever I go. And if I don't receive it, they'll be hearing from me. That's the world. That's the spirit of the world, totally wrapped up in self, where Jesus is totally geared to other people's needs. And so, in Jesus is no selfishness, no bitterness, no rage. I mean, look at what one of the thieves was like on the cross. I mean, he gave it good of what he felt about the situation, but nothing like that. It says of Jesus, he opened not his mouth. Wow. Praise God. But the same one is in you with the power to open not your mouth. The same one, Jesus, in us. And so we can see something different. If I live by him, these destructive outbursts will never come out because they're not in him. And actually, the truth is, they're not in you either. If we get to the real truth, old things have passed away. You are a new creation, and Christ now fills you, and you can now live by this power. Is it wonderful? Hallelujah. If we get to the truth of this gospel, you see, you and I will never make this. We'll never ever make this. But with Christ, totally make it. Praise God. Praise God. So the Lord wants to pour unselfish love, kindness, helpfulness, consideration through you and me to everyone around us, so that our homes can be a special place of kindness and consideration for each other. We're on the lookout. Children, young people, when you come in home, you'll be on the lookout straight away. How can I be a help here? And then you'll be just like Jesus. Wouldn't that be great? Your parents would be delighted. They'd be absolutely thrilled because you're looking to be a helpful peacemaker in the home. So it's wonderful. We're going to break bread now. Not one of us is condemned, but we are convicted, and we are called to change by the Holy Spirit, and that's what's so wonderful. Remember, we said all these changes are going to take place inside. None of us have got this all working perfectly, but boy, if we stay together with Jesus, we're going to see some big changes around us. Would that be wonderful? Amen. John, would you lead us in breaking bread then? That'd be wonderful.
So if the service could come forward.